Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 3rd, 2020. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, text me first. The cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, all about the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube, podcasts on FM, and so pray, please, about supporting airtime. Airtime is not free, and we need your support to stay on the air as you have since 2002. Anyway, let's thank our listener base in places like Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, Copenhagen, Denmark, region of Perm, the Russian Federation, and in the United States, such as Portland, Oregon, Omaha, Nebraska, and Long Beach, California. And again, Chicago, Illinois, United States, is the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. And this week you're also followed by Portland, Oregon, which is big every week, and Wichita, you're about third, I think. By the way, folks, we ask you to send us an email to radio@messiahsbranch.org or a text to my phone, 316-619, and let us know what city you're hailing from, especially if we have not mentioned your city before. If you want to, you can also tell us how you listen to us, because I'm also curious about that. Anyway, we will not use your text or email to solicit donation. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio not goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, it's going to be a special program tonight. Tonight, in the second half of this program, I will have the great honor of speaking with one of the greatest living American heroes of our time. I am speaking of Sheriff Joe Arpaio. During his career, Joe Arpaio won numerous awards and citations and merits for his work in the law enforcement community, including National Law Enforcement Officer of the Year and humanitarian awards for his work in the area of animal cruelty. Few know that Joe Arpaio came out of retirement to run for sheriff and was reelected an unprecedented 6 consecutive times by the people of his county, making him the longest-serving sheriff in America. Maricopa County, Arizona. Sheriff Joe is best known and loved for his innovative and effective techniques for no-nonsense law enforcement as the sheriff of that county. Sheriff Joe is one of the most beloved crime fighters in American history who has dedicated his entire life to law enforcement that made him an American legend. Sheriff Joe has never backed down from controversy, maintaining the same counterpunching traits as his hero, President Donald Trump. In his new book, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, An American Legend, Sheriff Joe tells you a real inside and fascinating scoop about the political witch hunt to destroy him by the media and the left because of his stance on illegal immigration and the investigation of the alleged Obama certificate. Wow. Now, we are going to talk about that Obama birth certificate, but the Obama birth certificate investigation also has ties with some of those people to what? Guess what? To the election and what's going on right now. The fascinating direct links between Sheriff Joe and evil forces against the current president read like a modern-day spy novel with direct ties to the Russian hoax, the Steele dossier, base law firms, activist judges, and an NSA whistleblower, and other sensitive political issues that go back 55 years. Whistleblower, that's what we're going to talk about in part. We'll see where this conversation will go. And again, I'm not going to bring him on because he could only do 30 minutes, so I'm not bringing him on until the bottom of the hour at the 30-minute mark, and that's when I'll bring him on. Internationally known as America's toughest sheriff, he also chronicles his storied law enforcement career, including his unique programs such as the tent city jails and the inmates, pink underwear, chain gangs, and the arrest of illegals and the famous posse. Now, you know how I found out about Joe in the first place was I heard about him. It was all over the news. I heard about him making the inmates wear pink underwear, and it just really... At the time, I thought it was funny, and I still do think it's funny. But there's a legitimate excuse as to why the underwear ended up being pink. In fact, the underwear ended up being pink by accident in the start. And so I doubt very seriously we'll get into that issue in the second half. But this is really a dynamite book. And, yeah, that's what I do. I promote books. But let me tell you what, the information that's in here about the posse and the chapter that is on the Obama birth certificate will just blow you away. And it's really information. Some of this information I haven't found anyplace else. Sheriff Joe's longtime commitment to the rule of law is an inspiration, and his book is a must-read for every American, especially those wanting to know about the hammer and the backstory to the current election. Sheriff Joe, for the first time ever, is revealing his side of the story in this new book. He famously created a cold case posse in 2011 to investigate whether Obama's birth certificate was a forgery or not. This investigation does not involve politics, he said at the time. He said, my door is open to everyone. I don't kick them out. If a complaint is legitimate, I do not dump it into the wastebasket. Now, this is a real big deal. I can't wait to get him on. Anyway, my listeners, heard about this investigation from Pastor Carl Gallup's as it unfolded years ago. If you've been sticking with me, Pastor Carl Gallup's first time started coming on in, I think, 2014, maybe sooner than that. Actually, it was sooner than, well, his first book was out in 2014, so he's been coming on for that long. But he unfolded and let things out about this investigation that was going on because Pastor Carl Gallup was what? He was on the posse. So a few weeks ago, if you listened to the program before Thanksgiving, you'll remember that Pastor Carl come on the program was kind of laughing about how he had broke information about the hammer back on the program. And so, yeah, he had broke it on here. Anyway, so backing up. Okay, we will ask Sheriff Joe about that tonight. He maintains that after 55 years of investigating corruption in the United States and around the world, he says he knows what a smoking gun is, but he had, with the birth certificate, he had a smoking cannon. He says, my investigations and top international forensic documents experts prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that Obama's birth certificate was a fake government document. You'll see the proof in his book, he says, and again, there's information in that book that just really isn't. You could probably find 90% of the information, but it's scattered out all over the place. So this is a one-stop place to get this, and it's well worth it, especially those of you that are in for the winter. And I know a lot more people read in the wintertime. Sheriff Joe was a well-known early and vocal proponent of Donald Trump's 2016 presidential run and used his own national and international notoriety to advocate for Trump's similarly aggressive stance on border security, illegal immigration, and so on. And so they had a common thing between them. But if you care about what's going on right now with the election, this book will help you understand. Now, let's introduce you to what I really want to talk to him about. We'll introduce you to the Hammer Scorecard and Dennis Montgomery while we wait for Sheriff Cho in part two of our program. So first this. Dennis Montgomery was introduced to Sheriff Cho by a man named Tim Blexit. Now, he was a billionaire, arms dealer. Anyway, Dennis had direct ties to John Brennan, the former White House security advisor under Obama, and eventually the director of the CIA. James Clapper, the former director of the NSA, who famously lied to American Congress, claiming the NSA didn't wittingly spy on American citizens. Really, believe that? I got a break, I'll tell you. The truth is, they were spying on Americans at unprecedented levels. Montgomery claimed he, Dennis, was the architect who developed the software to unlock logins and passwords to cell phones, bank records, email, and credit card accounts of millions of Americans, with Montgomery's programs known as PRISM and Intelligence Circles. Intelligence agencies, and they had the ability through a massive government supercomputer that was assembled in Fort Washington, Maryland, to do the calculations necessary to apply the 10 million password combinations per minute, thus using sheer brute force computing horsepower to unlock citizens' private accounts at will. Now, y'all know the NSA does that, so here is the Hammer. This massive supercomputer is known as the Hammer, and allegedly it's still in use today. At the writing of this book, the supercomputer was referred to by General Flynn's highly respected attorney, Sidney Powell, in a press conference as possible by which the intelligence community spied on his cell phone calls with the Russian ambassador. Used under the guise of collecting foreign intelligence, the Hammer was used to spy on Supreme Court Justice Roberts and Antonin Scalia. Visa court judges and other political enemies were also spied on. It's now no secret that President Trump and his campaign believe his phones were tapped in Trump Tower during the campaign, per Montgomery, using his software and the Hammer. Now, Sidney Powell, said on November 6th, this was from a press release, on Friday, Sidney Powell and Tom Fitton discussed the 2020 election during an interview with Lou Dobbs. During that interview, Powell told Dobbs, the authorities need to look into the possibility that 3% of the vote total was changed in the pre-election ballots collected digitally using the Hammer and Scorecard programs. That would have amounted to a massive change in the vote, she said. It would have gone across the country, and it explains a lot of what we're seeing. She also suggested that an algorithm was used to create the votes that Democratic Joe Biden needed to win in specific areas. We've seen that with the five-state shutdown. We've had hundreds of thousands of ballots appear solely for Mr. Biden, which is statistically impossible as a matter of mathematics, she said, adding that the information will be presented in a federal court. Sheriff Joe, an American legend, that is the name of the book. Sheriff Joe Pyle, an American legend. So now, folks, the Hammer is not new on this program, nor is the case about the Obama birth record. But tonight, for the first time, we will be talking very shortly, probably inside of about 10 minutes, we'll be talking with Sheriff Joe about some of this and the birth record. This should be a dynamite program. I really encourage all of you to share this program with other people. In fact, that's how you can help the ministry, the Wichita Mission Church, and everything else that we do, is by sharing our radio programs with others so that then we gain a bigger listening audience. The more audience, the more they'll donate to the Wichita Mission Church. So the Mission Church is like a home church with a building, and you know, we get no help from any government agencies. It's only folks like you that supported us. Now that we're in, we're getting ready to start our 22nd year. Come June, we'll start our 22nd year. And you folks are the ones that make the Mission Church work. You're also the ones that make radio work. Because why? Why did I say that? Well, I have to pay for airtime. I have to pay for the electric on this building. I have to pay for the equipment, all of those things. My job is full-time in a ministry. We need your help to support radio. If you don't want to support the poor, then you need to support talk radio, because talk radio is where you're getting your best information out there right now, because we're uncensored. Currently, we are. There could come a time, if Biden gets in office somehow, then, boy, it's going to be really tough, and it's going to come down. So you're really going to need us then, too. So pray about supporting talk radio, whether it's our program or somebody else's or one of these other programs on American Voice Radio. Now, that you should do. But back to the Mission Church. We minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through. But isn't that where the body of Messiah should be, as among the sinners, as Yeshua was? We are there still helping people, folks. We really are. Even though that we're having to do things in a different manner, we have tons of people showing up. And we had a lot of people show up for Thanksgiving. And I imagine everything's going to be closed on December 25th. Well, you know that we celebrate Hanukkah instead of Christmas. We celebrate Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. On the 25th, everything is closed. And so we'll be open on the 25th giving food. So we will be there. And even with the COVID, we're out there on the front line. And so you need to help us out. Pray about it. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, again, consider a donation for radio airtime. I know you enjoy and learn from our guests. Radio isn't free, again, so donations keep us on the air. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order. Call and give a donation over the telephone. And you can find this information at prophecyhour.com. And remember, if you need a prayer, you don't have to call and give a donation to get a prayer. But you need to get a hold of me. And if you can't get me on the main phone, my cell phone. But text me first because of all the robocalls. So pray about that, you know. And we will, I think, in just a moment, we're going to go ahead and go to a break. So you can find us all our information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, folks, share these radio programs with others. Share prophecyhour.com. And just pray for us. That's the first thing. Everything comes from prayer. So I ask you to pray for us. Lift us up in prayer. And now, while it's maybe this is a little earlier than normal, we are now going to go to break. And we'll come back so that we can get a full 30 minutes almost with Joe. So now if we could go to break, please.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Only but for a moment, when measured on God's time, we'll be seated together at the table of the Lord to dine. So save me a place beside you till my journey on earth is done. And you'll be the second one that I'll see. But first I want to see God's Son. Just a moment and I'll be there. But in the meantime, God's love I'll share. the journey may be very hard, but Jesus will be here to help me against the enemy to stay on guard. I'm only in this world just a passing through, with our precious Lord as my guide. And it'll only be just a little while, and I'll see you on the other side. Just a moment, and I'll be there. But in the meantime, God's love I'll share. And I will miss you, but not for long. And I will sing to you this brand new song. Yes, I will sing to you this brand new song.
The first century historian Flavius Josephus gives us great insight as to what took place on the Sabbath, not only in Jerusalem, but in all of the Roman Empire. In his work entitled Flavius Josephus Against Appian, he states, "The multitude of mankind itself have had a great inclination of a long time to follow our religious observances, for there is not any city of the Grecians, nor of the barbarians, nor any nation whatsoever, whither our custom of resting on the seventh day hath not come." Philo, another respected first century historian of Alexandria, Egypt, reports the same findings. In his work entitled On the Life of Moses, he questions, "What man is there who does not honor that sacred seventh day, granting in consequence a relief and relaxation from labor, for himself and for all those who are near to him, and that not to free men only, but also to slaves and even to beasts of burden?" Philo concludes his statement by saying, "Everything is at liberty and in safety on that day and enjoys, as it were, perfect freedom in obedience to a universal proclamation." What did the first century believers do on the Sabbath? They rested just as they always had. It was not necessary for the church to instruct the Gentile believers as to the Sabbath. They were already observing it throughout the known world. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Cyrus Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, I'm told by my producer that Joe is with us. Are you with us, Sheriff Joe of Iowa?
Yes, I am.
Well, it's a really, really great honor to have you on this program with you, with me tonight. Your book is just really dynamite. It has a lot of great information about you and about the Obama birth record investigation that my listeners are pretty familiar with it because Pastor Carl Gallups comes on with me, monthly, and he has for many years since he wrote his first book. So I'm glad to have you on. And I will tell you one thing about it, and then I'll let you speak. I got to tell you this. It really warmed my heart to hear your side of the story of the woman's chain gang and the simple reason for the prisoner's pink underwear, because, in fact, those underwear was the first that I ever heard of you, and it was on the news. So that was really wonderful to hear the rest of that story. Back to you.
Yeah, I always joke I can get elected on pink underwear. Everybody seems to have it in the world.
Yeah.
can't believe it. I sure signed a lot of underwear, and all that money went to the kids. 100% went to the help the kids, underprivileged kids, and so on. So it was for a good cause.
Yeah, amen. And if folks, if you want to, you check out his Facebook page. I enjoyed some of the things that were over there. You know, gives more of a humane side of you. You're really into, you know, helping people and everything, not just being a tough sheriff like everybody portrays you. You really do have a heart, brother, and I commend you for that. Amen. Anyway,
well,
go ahead.
You know, they call me America's toughest sheriff, but I think that's an honor. I don't want to be called America's nicest sheriff.
Yeah,
my
amen.
Reputation. But I am a nice guy.
Well, it is a great honor to be called that, especially, you know, we're in an age of people that, to me, men aren't being real men. You know, they're not standing up. If everybody was standing up, I don't think we'd be in the situation that we are right now with the election. What do you think?
Yeah, I know. I've been around a long time, and about 88 years. So I've seen a lot of things in my life. But one thing that has kept me going is the life experience and common sense. I think we've lost the common sense part of it, unfortunately, these days. And most of the things that occur always has to do with politics or jealousies, no loyalty. You know, what can you do for me today? And it's not the old-fashioned way when you could shake hands, make a promise, keep your bond, you know, don't break your promise. So we don't have that much today for some reason.
No, and I wholeheartedly agree. You know, I think a lot of it led to just the overall condition of you know, the church went through a change, you know. But let me say that, you know, it is, you did really hit the nail on the head. Those things that you mentioned are the things that we are lacking. And it's just common sense. I want to bang my, I'm 65, you know, I'm not as old as you, sir, but, you know, I want to bang my head on the wall because these younger people, they just don't use common sense. Common sense would get us out of most of these problems, I believe, but they just don't do it. They don't, and as far as loyalty, there doesn't seem to be anybody loyal to, they're loyal to self, and sometimes I wonder even if they're loyal to themselves. Amen. Now, I hit on that we have been talking about, you don't mind talking about the chapter in your book about the birth record, do you?
No, I'm glad you brought it up because it's been the biggest blackout in history. People with your courage to bring it back out is important because I sure can't get the media, the FBI, CIA, politicians. Nobody wants to talk about it, and I can't understand that. That's one thing that puzzles me. You know, why is it kept such a big secret? Why isn't the media looking at it? I mean, it's a fake document. If you and I had a fake document, we'd be in jail tomorrow. What about all the illegal aliens that I've arrested? Maybe 200,000-300,000. The majority of them have fake documents, driver's license, Social Security. And we charge them with that, not because they were just here illegally. So how come they all go to jail? And I got a guy with a fake birth certificate. Happens to be the president. But so what? Where's the equality?
Wow.
Where is it? Because he's the president? How does he get by with it? And why? Why do they let him get by with it? That's a big question. That's a big question. Somebody one day may be able to answer, why does he get a pass?
Well, you know,
and
we
why,
see...
one thing I'd like another answer, why because no one looked into it. I've been in law enforcement 58 years all over the world, and they can't go after me for my background. I can prove every word, and in my book I can prove every word I say. I kept records from the day I was born. The big puzzle is why, number one, no one has knocked on my door. I don't care who they are. I'm talking about the media, investigators. Oh, Sheriff, with all your experience, you're onto something. We'd like to look at the evidence. Oh, okay. Where? Where's the media? They love good, juicy stories. So that's my dilemma. I do not understand how this thing was covered up by the world.
Well, I have a couple of opinions on that, but mine doesn't matter tonight. I do have some real questions for this that I want you to bring in, because you actually, know it or not, you actually nailed that answer in your book by showing who is involved with this. Now, you know, like now, I have somebody pressing me saying, well, to what degree do you believe was the CIA involved in this and everything? I said, wouldn't this be a good time to talk about who this Dennis guy is, Dennis Montgomery?
Who the what?
Dennis Montgomery, the whistleblower.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he popped in there, but let me say this. Sometimes informers give you good information. Sometimes they give you bad information. Most of them do it for money. So the only thing I can say about him is the fact we didn't prove our case because of him. I think on the peripheral he said he could come up with some program that probably would identify who was responsible. He never did, never came up with anything on that. So I have to disregard his information. And he did come up with some good information initially when he was introduced to me and said he is 150,000 people that were being stolen identities. They were stealing their identities through banks and everything else. We did check some of that out and confirmed that it did happen. But on other issues regarding the birth certificate or other issues are questionable. So I'm going to leave it at that. But as far as the birth certificate, we had the goods anyway to forensic experts in Italy and Hawaii. We didn't need him, so we did this on our own.
Well, what fascinated me about him, though, was that didn't he have ties to Clapper and those, and that was kind of his claim. That's what I'm trying to show. It looks like those are the same guys that had ties clear down into trying to take down Trump, and possibly these same guys in the election now. Back to you.
Well, yeah, he had computer information, I presume. Came up with a lot of names, a flow chart, hooking people, making phone calls, which were very interesting. So, once again, I don't know the credibility of that. Like I say, we do our own investigation, especially on a birth certificate, and got the results without him.
Amen. Amen. I know. In fact, Carl kept me apprised of what he could. He didn't let anything out that he wasn't supposed to talk about. But over the years, you know, I gained a picture, and also from observing Mike Zulu and that early on press conference that he did where he explained that the things were layered. Actually, that seemed like they didn't do a very good job of even creating that birth certificate. It didn't look so to me. Because go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe the high school kid could look at that and say it was a fake. So if it's a fake, why hasn't anybody done anything? It was 2011 we started this, and don't forget how it affected my career. that stimulated Obama and Holder, the former attorney general. 100 days, you know, Biden's going through the same thing, coming up with 100 in 100 days, you know, what they want to do. How come my name was part of that 100 days? I mean, they've been after me, but I was their target. And it took them 8 years to get me on a contempt of court, same as a dog bite. Took them, yeah. And then George Soros pumped in all that money, $3 million, against me. And then the biased judge waited 2 days before early voting and said, and this is the Obama people, they were still in office, said that they're going to charge me with a contempt of court misdemeanor and want me to go to prison for 6 months. That was 2 days before early voting. Now in the Department of Justice policies, they keep saying, well, we don't want to start any investigation now in the midst of an election. I'm talking about other big targets that some bad guys, and I'm not going to get into Biden, his family, and all that. But why is that an excuse when they went after me on a petty misdemeanor 2 days before election? They wanted to drive me from office. That's why.
But do you think that
now?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They use that excuse now not to go after us. Some big, big guys. So, I don't know. It's all a game they play. It's politics. Everything is zeroed in to go after Donald Trump and destroy him any way they can. And who is they? Well, he calls it the swamp down there in Washington. You can call it the deep state, but
right.
We call it the establishment. He calls it the swamp. Same thing. The establishment. Which they went after me. I ran for sheriff to try to get the job back a couple of months ago. So the establishment went after me, including all the owners of all the sport teams, the McCain group. And by the way, I mentioned McCain a chapter in my book. And so they all ganged up on it. And they knew I was a big ally of President Trump. Back when I campaigned a couple of months ago, I had a bus with his picture of me. And we communicate. He knows my phone number.
Right.
But they went after him. When they go after me, they're going after him. And I'm still suspicious of the election here in Arizona. Not only his, but mine, too. I lost by 1%. Never should have lost that primary in a million years. So that's the way
looking
they play
at your,
their game.
Not to interrupt, but looking at your record, you're absolutely right. I was actually shocked that you didn't do it, but now it's all with all the election, cheating and everything coming out. It isn't a wonder. And let me say this also, and you can address this, of course, and it is a wonderful book. I mean, people ought to get it, the chapter on McCain and all of it. But listen to this. You had such a hard stance on illegal immigration to protect our country. And as Trump did, wasn't that part of the reason they had to get rid of you? Back to you.
Yeah, but that's their reason. That's their big reason. But I got my own idea. Why would the mayor of L.A., he's still the mayor, come down here and lead demonstrators against me and say, lock up our pile? This is the mayor. He ought to be taking care of L.A. He comes down here. Does he want a good Mexican restaurant down here? So, yeah. And they bring all these people in from all over, campaign against me, 2016, with a biased federal court, Obama after me. Come on. I'm just a little old sheriff doing my job and drawing all this heat. But you know what? You're right. The media goes after me all the time. In fact, I think I've had 100 press things come out with my name in it the last 2 days, all over the world. Why? Because when I was pardoned, now the pardon issue is coming up again, and nasty, they always throw my name in there, which is good. I'm getting free press.
Right.
Spell the name right. That's the way I look at it. When you deal with the media, that's why you're important, as I said before, because you can tell the real story. You can't believe the biased media anymore. Unfortunately, I have relatives in the media. I've always had an open-door policy with the media. Even when I was head of the Federal Drug Enforcement in Mexico, Turkey, I used to give out press releases in foreign countries. And then as sheriff, come on, 24 years, I never turned down the media. They blast me, but sometimes they ought to say something nice about me. No. And it's funny, on the book, how come the local, thank you for calling me, you're not local here. Why is it the local media in Phoenix, Arizona, surrounding areas have never, never done anything on my book? They know it's out. Yeah. You think somebody will look at it and at least go negative against me because they know about the racial profile and file. They know about what I said about Senator McCain. They know about the birth certificate. I'm a local guy. I'm the news here. And that they won't say anything about my book. I'll tell you why. They kind of believe my book and know I contradict everything they said about me when I was a sheriff. So that's probably why they don't have the guts to at least write something on the book, at least a negative, but they want to make me irrelevant. That's their new game, a trick. They did it during my sheriff's race recently. They don't even mention I'm running. And why isn't anybody taking a poll? They usually take a poll around here when I go to the toilets. But they wouldn't take a poll on my campaign because they knew I would come out high on the poll. So you can see how the media tries to control everything, and they're doing it, and they've been doing it against President Trump from day one. So that's the way they operate.
Yeah.
It's sad. Why can't they tell the truth?
Yeah,
stupid question.
I wholeheartedly
I just
agree. The media is pitiful, and they're not going to give you any press at all because even if they give you actually negative press on your book would probably sell a lot of books.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and they know that.
Yeah, you're smart. Yeah, you're smart. I'll take the negative press. Why do they blast me? Why do they talk about their favorite son, McCain, who I said in the book, I respect his service in the military, but I had some issues with it. I'm not afraid to talk about it. I know his wife and his daughter, who has that little Mickey Mouse show, whatever, she's on, blasphemy all the time. But the media, that's their hero, so they're not going to report anything I say. And that's sad. So I can't get a book review in my own hometown here, my area. They sure covered me in headlines all these years, blasting me every time, yet they won't talk about my response to my book. So I don't need that. There's other ways to get the word out, like guys like you and social network and hustle. I go and meet the people. I was just down in the Western time, Tombstone. You heard of that?
Sure.
Yeah, that's where Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
I was there a few days ago selling my book.
Yeah.
But, you know, the publisher of my book said nice things about me. And one thing he said made me feel good. He said, I'm a modern Wyatt Earp. And the publisher's from Texas, David. Thomas, Robert, Defiance Media. He helped me on this book. He's a publisher. We got it done in 5 months. And you have to
really?
Go back 88 years to start my life, and we still got it done in that time.
Wow.
So I'm down there in Tombstone. Hey, it's a great town. Sheriff. And I sold 100 books in 2 hours. The book is a good book. I wrote two books
before. Let me say this about the book for a minute, because I want my folks to know this, my audience. You mentioned about McCain. We talked about the birth certificate. That's just part of the book. But that book is a treasure of honesty that is damaging to the left. If you folks want to see something that's damaging to the left, this man's life is damaging to the left. And you should really get the book. This book is dynamite. It's one to share around. And it really is, Joe. I'm really greatly impressed by it. And it has so much information. It really does. And I'm really amazed. Now, I do, you know, I do books all the time for different people, you know, from help promote them, and which I am promoting your book a lot. You know, I'm amazed to hear that you did it in such a short period of time. Back to you.
Yeah, you know why? It was easy. I kept documents. I got facts. There's nothing in the book I can't back up, at least with documentation. I don't make stuff up. And I'm pretty proud of that. Pretty proud of me telling it like it is. And between you and I had a little disagreement with the publisher when he wanted to put my bio, take up 5 pages. Boy, am I glad he did, because I just happened to think of something. When you look at my history, and people look at the history, and the first thing they say, we didn't know you did all that. I could never get the word out that I had another life other than sheriff for 24 years. Now I'm glad he did. You know why? When they read my background, even the media can't go against me. They'll go against me calling me a racist and everything I did in the sheriff's office, but it's very difficult for them to try to destroy me. First of all, I don't have any skeleton. I've been investigated by thousands of media and everybody else, and they can't find nothing. They have to make it up, like they did on the verse when they convicted me, a judge, biased judge,
right,
not following another judge's illegal order to stop arresting illegals, when the government swore in 150 of my deputies to lock up illegals and act as immigration officers. And I started that when it came out, that program, in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working under the umbrella of the ICE. And yet the judge says I'm, and the deputies were all wrong. Why does he say that ICE, I swore, I did a contract with the head of ICE that said you can use race. And yet a judge trying to make it look like it's racial program, a racial, you know,
yeah,
policy I had. So you know how they twist everything around. And they've done it with Trump all along, all through the years. Twist everything around. So what's this
just
country
for
coming
record,
to?
What? We've got a few minutes left, but I'm curious. What was it like to meet Trump? I mean, what kind of guy is he in person? Back to you.
Well, Donald Trump, when they asked me in NBC a little over a year ago, said, is Senator McCain your hero? I paused, and I said, and it's true, four months before, I woke up, and I told my wife, we've been married 62 years, and I said, finally found my hero. That's Donald Trump. She didn't know what to say on that. That made national news. Am I going to lie? So I didn't have a hero. Everybody has a right to have heroes. I have a right to not have a hero until I found one. It took me all these years, 85 years. I'm not ashamed to say it. I don't backtrack. I don't flip-flop. if he called me every name in the book, and which he would never do, even if he did, I still love the guy. So that's the way I am. I'm an old-fashioned guy.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Father for that. And, you know, Trump is one of my heroes also. I early on when he first ran, something just hit me. Well, actually, I had believed that it would take a person like him for many years to be able to change things. And then here he came, and he's standing up. We got about a minute left. Any thoughts on Barr? You know, he seems to be absent from the scene right now.
Great guy. He has a heart. My wife came down with cancer briefly. She used to watch Fox. I don't watch Fox. They blackballed me. She used to watch because Fox used to see Trump when he was running. I told Trump that, and he couldn't believe it. I mean, he believed it, but he was shocked. And he didn't need my wife to hook me. I was hooked to begin with, so he called my wife. He's called my wife several times, including when he was president, or he's still president. So
right.
He didn't have to do that. Why would he have to talk about my wife? I mean, we weren't that close socially. I never knew him until I introduced him in 2015. If we told him, you're going to be our next president. He didn't have to do that. And when I talked at the National Convention, I got prime time. There's a big story on how that happened in Cleveland. And, of course, Monifer, and they all, well, you're going to read this, you're going to read that. I said, I'm going to read nothing. Told me you got to use a teleprompter, told me what to say. I said, you know what, I'm going to say what I want to say, and I'm going to bring out Donald Trump called my wife several times when she came down with cancer. And that's what I did. What are you going to do, kick me off the stage with a stupid teleprompter and speech? That's what I did.
I love your attitude. I really love your attitude. Brother, I have to butt in. We've only, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you because we only got about a minute or so left.
I want to thank you. Have me on any time.
Well, I will. I was going to ask you that. To tell you the truth, you're one of my heroes, and I was really, I have talked to many, many people. I've been on the radio a long time, and I haven't been as nervous as I was tonight in many years, but I'm relaxed now, and I'd love to talk to you again. So we'll talk again, Brother Beg. I'm going to have to let you go. You can say goodbye.
Hey, thank you. There's a person upstairs always watching out for all of us. You do know that.
Yeah, amen. He's my hero, my big hero.
So, go ahead. Anyway, take care of yourself. Be safe. Keep in touch, and thank you for listening to me.
All right. You be blessed, brother. Thanks. Goodbye and shalom.
Thank you.
Well, folks, that was Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and his book is An American Legend. And we'll have him back on again, but we really got to go. Pray about supporting radio and Wichita Mission and the Wichita Mission Church. Share this radio program. We need to get the work out. We need to start standing up like men and real women and get our voices heard. But we must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing for others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.